Okay, well, I am Joe Q Public here. That's my role. So you are all insiders. You are all experts. I am the one asking the really dumb practical questions of like, how does this affect me as a taxpayer, as a citizen of Salt Lake County? So I hope you bear with me. The introductions, I think, have been done, have they not? So let's go right into the questions. And I think part of the overriding goal of this panel is to really drill down on some of these issues. What does it mean? So I'd like to go through each panelist and maybe just ask the broad general question, what does local control mean in this new universe that we're calling Salt Lake County? I'm particularly interested to hear from the two mayors, but would love to hear your thoughts on that question. Let's start with Mayor Seguini.
Local control means that I, as a mayor, have a voice in the services that are provided for the people of Midvale City. My first elected position in Midvale City was in 1986, and I have been in elected position since that time. At that time, county service meant that whatever was done from the sheriff's office or anybody else was done for unincorporated county. It did not mean that there were any services that were provided to local communities. And so there was a real problem in terms of, does the county serve the locals? For the most part, the answer to that question seemed to be no, not at all. You were a county employee, you worked for the county, you didn't worry about the incorporated parts of the community. So from that time to this time, to define services versus county and municipal borders is a huge leap forward. As some of you may know, UPD and UFA are both run by boards on which the mayors of the participating communities sit and vote, as well as representatives from the county. So the decisions that are made are for all the people. So local control means I have control as a mayor, and the council has control as council members to ask the hard questions and get the service and get the things done for our people. I work for the people of Midvale. My job is to make sure they have services that are fair and equitable. But it also means, as we look at these new models, it has to be affordable. And having unified services in any division or any specialty area is always going to be a money issue. By joining UPD and UFA a year ago, we were able to save $2.5 million. And our liability insurance is way down because we don't have any police cars or fire trucks. That's nice. So, but we still have a police station in Midvale. We still have two fire stations in Midvale. So the landscape didn't change. And that meant a lot to the people who were holding on to, we've always done it ourselves. And I would say, just as an aside, 100 years ago, or 102 years ago, when Midvale became a city, you could drive from Salt Lake and you'd get to the county hospital at 21st South, and then you'd drive through farmland till you got to Murray, and then you drive through sugar beet fields until you got to Midvale. And then you drive a long way before you got to the farms in Draper. We had to provide our own service. There's no way we could provide service in between. And the county eventually, as population growth became more congestive, had to do more and more in terms of what had traditionally been municipal services. So that we're at a point in time with our population that we've got to provide municipal services for everybody, whether it's done by a county employee or a city employee, and we've got to do it in a way that saves people money and ensures that they have service and protection.
Councilman Jensen, you wear a couple of hats in your capacity here today, as chief of the Unified Fire Authority, of course, and as county councilman, excuse me. So what does local mean to you?
I think local control, it's about perspective. And I think everyone's going to have a different definition depending on kind of where you're at in life and where you're at in time. But Local control, take the fire department. For local control, is it when you call 911, do they call the mayor and say, hey, mayor, which fire station would you like to send? Well, no, they don't do that. So it's not necessarily about the immediacy of local control. So for me, local control is more about having the ability to set budgets, to have the ability to set policy, to set the direction of whatever service or organization that you're involved in, having a voice, having a say, being able to sit down and be not necessarily in charge all the time, but again, that direction and the policy guidance. And that's what I think for the UFA, the UPD, all of these service models, the sanitation district, that's what they provide, is they provide the ability for the local elected officials of a given area to have the ability to sit down, have say, have a voice, be able to set the policy and direction, and be able to set the budgets. Because at the end of the day, control for a city manager or for any administrator is really about the money. It's about the ability to say, this year, no, we're not going to spend $800,000 on a new fire truck. We're going to take that $800,000 and we're going to put some park equipment in. We're going to do some sidewalks and curb and gutter. The Arts Council's killing us. The Historical Society's killing us. So it's easier to put off those capital intensive purchases and put it to where the public sees those kind of immediate needs. And so to me, local control is more about where the money is, having a voice, having a say, and directing.
Mm-hmm. Nicole Dunn, the Caroon administration, just broadly, where is local? What is local? Where does it reside?
I would agree with Mayor Seguini and Councilman Jensen that it really depends on time and perspective. What is the time in history right now? Where have we been? And what do we want to achieve right now? And local control right now is the ability for a community to provide the quality of service that the community demands and wants at a cost they can afford and accept. And I think that local control is much like a balancing scale. And on one side, you have autonomy and control. On the other side, you have collaboration and economies of scale. And at different times in history, I think we've seen it balance out differently. But right now, I think we are, for different reasons, some of which we are becoming better at collaborating. Councilman Burdick set up a committee about the future of Salt Lake County, bringing cities together to say, how can we work together? I think another reason we're balancing on that side is the most current recession. The silver lining has been that we cannot afford not to collaborate anymore. And we have said, through giving up a little bit of control, we can find more economies of scale and provide the services residents want at the highest quality and the best cost. And we've also had creative work done through the different service districts to find the best of both models, where we can provide, as Mayor Seguini said, local control, the ability to voice and control the budgets and direction of each policy and still work together. So I think we've found the best of both worlds through a new model and are starting to land on the side of collaboration.
Mm. Mayor Applegarth, I know that Riverton contracts in both the UPD and the UFA. How difficult of a public process was that to sort of redefine what local means and the whole accountability question and equation?
Can I correct you? I don't
yes.
mean to, but I
yes, please do.
It goes into how I feel about local control. We do not contract with UPD and UFA. Riverton City is in service area with both of those. This evolves. We contract starting July 1, we contract with Animal Services with the county. And so in that, it's paid for out of our general fund. So we've agreed on a level of service and paid out of a general fund. When I think of local control, I think of this evolving. And there's two parts of it for me. There is the governing part and the financial part. And the people involved in local control, as it evolves, are the people, the citizens. And so I think as we go through these models, and so I don't, that's why I'm raising the issue.
Joe Q Public with, right here. With, I'm all about asking a dumb question.
With so. UPD that we've just gone to, now we have a board that's appointed. Maybe at some point down the line, there will be a board that's elected. But right now, what you have is that UPD and UFA in our city, as well as other cities that are in this, it is the funding source is the property tax. And so when we have a budget for the service area in UPD or UFA, the people have a right to come to a hearing and give their feelings about the property tax level. And so what that does is that, and I don't think any city abuses this, but in the past, when you say we can increase, we're going to increase police protection, so we're going to increase your property tax X number of dollars. Well, I can use that out of the general fund in police protection, but I also can enhance the parks as well. Oh, I didn't mention that to you, that part of it's going for the parks, but it's just a little part. When you get to a service district, it all has to go to that district, whether it's UFA or UPD. So every dollar that's collected for UFA and or UPD has to go to that specific district. I think that enhances the control of the people because they set the level of service they want. And that, to me, is where this is headed. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen it in Riverton. We were first with the Sheriff's Department, the first city with the Sheriff's Department to contract. And then we've moved ahead where we were contracting with them as UPD. So we made that move where I was on the board of UPD and controlling budgets and helping with that, but we still paid out of the general fund. Now we've made the next move where it is financed independently. UPD, the service area, is a taxing unit, and I think someday we'll make the next jump where it won't be the mayor or a council member that's on the board that's been appointed, it will be somebody elected like you have to the school district. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of my vision of what local control is, but you know, I could be totally wrong, but that's where I am. That's what I think of in that regard, so thank you.
Councilman Bradley, local
control. Rarely are either of these mayors wrong, and I always defer to them, and I'll continue to do so. It is, first of all, let me say how much I appreciate having a forum like this, because it's you folks that are out there providing the service, and you're wondering what kind of model in which you're providing that, and I think this discussion helps explain the evolution of what we're doing in terms of local government. And also, let me put in a quick plug for local government. There's no other form of government that is more exciting than local government, because you have that immediate feedback from the people you're servicing. Yeah, it's either through the supermarket, walking through your door, public meetings. I mean, but you are right there hearing from the people what they want, what their complaints are, et cetera, et cetera. That makes it immediate, and it makes it very exciting. And it also gets to the issue of local control. What does that really mean? Everybody has a desire to control their local environment. I want to be able to control what goes around me, around my neighbors, around my extended neighborhood, maybe parking meters in Salt Lake City, I mean, on and on and on. But, you know, people want to control. And that's a very human, you know, you want to do that to protect what you have and everything else. But also you have to look at collectively, how effective can you control things if you're alone? You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to go buy a garbage truck and dump your own garbage and hire a security guard and, you know, everything else. So you have to do it in a collective fashion. And that is the issue of local control. And what we've seen lately is the metamorphosis, I think, of local control into service areas that provide an efficiency of scale, that provides still the elected officials' input into the system, and allows elected officials who are representing the people who elect them into the budgeting of that service. It's a model that I think really has served us well in terms of where we've done it so far. And I think as we look at possibly public works operations and other opportunities we have, we can see if, in fact, we can still have that local control, providing a person a feeling that they have control over their immediate environment, whether it's a loose dog, whether it's garbage, whether it's planning and zone, whatever it may be. People need to have that, and they also need to know who to go to if they have a problem or a request or something. And that's why this connection between local government and its people is extremely important. You don't want local government to be so big that you lose that, but you don't want it so small that you lose the efficiency so you can't afford that service. And that's really the trick. People want a voice in what goes in around them, and they want to know who to talk to see that it happens. In my opinion, that's local control.
Okay. Pam, anything to add?
The only thing I would add is from the perspective of actually the implementation of policy and just giving an example of how governance is influenced by the district. The Special Service District has existed since 77, and it was created by Salt Lake County to provide garbage collection services for the unincorporated area. Since that time, cities incorporated, and four of the cities that did incorporate, four out of five, I should say, West Valley City elected to annex out of the district. But there were four cities that remained, and that's Taylorsville, Cottonwood Heights, Holiday, and Harriman. There's also a portion of Murray City right in there that the residents had a say to say, even though this portion of our community was annexed by Murray City, we wanted to stay with sanitation services through the county. So the governing body of the district is what has evolved and really is an example of that local control. And what I mean by that is Salt Lake County Council and mayor were pretty much the ones that governed the district. The council was the board of trustees. So as those cities incorporated and wanted more of a voice and a control of what was happening, an example is Taylorsville City went out to bid for waste collection services in 2009. And they elected to stay because we were the best game and best deal in town. But what that did is really gave voice to the fact that cities want control. So the county council created the administrative control board under state statute that is allowed in a special district. And what that did, it's a 9-member board, and it brought an elected official from each of the four cities to the table, and they now have a vote and a say. The other five members are four county council members and a representative from the mayor's office. So I think just giving that as an example, that's how evolution has really brought forward the cities to have a say.
Mm. I want to get to some questions from our audience. This one, what do you view are the challenges associated with promoting more collaborative efforts between the county and municipal governments? So the challenges that you foresee in the future as we continue down this path of more shared services. This is from Reed in the County Surveyor's Office. Anyone want to take a stab there? Well, Councilman Jensen.
We definitely need to get rid of the 8 independent electeds. Just teasing, Reed. I think going forward, it's this sense of local control that people need to have to be, and maybe the two mayors can expound on this better than I, but there's somewhat of a sentiment, in order to be a true city, you have to provide all of your own services. And I think the deputy mayor hit on this. I think the economy, when you go back through historical data on when areas have consolidated their services to look at regional models, it tends to be when the economy turns bad. And so it's the dollars that drive it. So one of the issues that I know for the UFA and the UPD has been for a few years has been that it's been viewed as the county. And both of our entities, now the county unincorporated areas are members, but it's not the county. It's not controlled by the county. The county has some elected officials who represent the areas of the unincorporated parts of the valley on their boards, but it's not the county. And so I think if we can turn the corner to where the county does the regional, broad, general funded services, these other areas provide these specialty services, kind of unique services for each of the models themselves, I think you're going to see more collaboration and more folks look at these service models.
Okay, Joe Q. Public here. Are you hearing from constituents that this move makes them a little queasy because these entities are governed by CEOs? I mean, yes, there are elected officials on the boards, but at the end of the day, the top person is not elected. And so there's lessened accountability. Have you been confronted by citizens with that question of, you know, when we talk about local control, are we handing over the fate of our police and fire to an entity that isn't accountable directly to taxpayers? Mayor Sagini?
You need to be corrected in terms of, I'm almost hearing you saying that the sheriff is in charge of UPD.
No. What I'm saying is that there is, maybe he is the CEO, is he not?
No.
He is the CEO of, he runs it. Now, the board is the one who ultimately, you have, four board members here. I think the board would say we run the UPD.
Yep.
That's right. We have the veto power over the sheriff.
Ah.
And so it's, and this is no disrespect to Jim. He's a very good law enforcement officer. But the power is in the board, not in the CEO. It's the same relationship in a way that you have between a city manager and the city council. The city manager is running the day-to-day operation, but it's the city council that has the power within the city. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that same relationship.
And an additional level in the UPD is each of the board members come back to the city council or the county council that they're a part of to affirm the budget as well. So citizens have that extra layer of ability to have input. So Mayor Sagini votes at the UPD board, but also presents to the mayor city, the Midvale City Council, on the proposed budget for the UPD.
Hmm.
So we've added that into the model. I think we did hear that from city mayors more than we heard it even from citizens, that they wanted to be able to assure their residents, and the county council as well wanted to be able to assure the residents of the unincorporated county that they did have that extra oversight.
And when the CEO was the sheriff and you were trying to put together a model or offering services to communities, that's exactly when you had three communities pull out: Draper, Cottonwood Heights, and Taylorsville. This change with this new model, in which we do have local control by being able to talk as a group about what we need in a community. We have made adjustments to our budget because of special needs with traffic enforcement that is not going to other cities, and we pay a little more for that. But we do have local control over our service and over the decisions that are made by the board.
Okay, forgive me for my ignorant question. Back to Reed's question about challenges going forward in this increased collaborative environment.
Bureaucracy.
Layer upon layer.
Yes.
Is it?
And that's my challenge as I work in my community and work with the county, with UPD, UFA, with animal control, with all, we have a very close working relationship and a strong voice. But try to work on something else that would maybe be collaborative funding or a new idea for services in parks or something else. There's no system of talking it out. It's only political, and it's very frustrating.
And I think add perspective. I think one of the things that really changed that made us be able to work with cities better is we changed our perspective at Salt Lake County as well, and we gave up a little control. I think as someone who was very new to this issue, I thought if Salt Lake County seems to provide excellent services, why is that not enough? And it's because perspective, and cities want to be able to make decisions for their city. That's why they got involved with their city, and that's why they're stepping up and donating time to lead their city. And it was not enough to just have a quality service. We needed to give up a little control from Salt Lake County's side and not just have a contract and invite cities to the table to be partners and collaborative in making the decisions. So I think we'll have to continue to look at the challenges from each other's perspectives and try to go forward.
Yes.
I think Mayor it's Appelgard. Also what Councilmember Bradley is saying. It only works when it's economically wise to do it. And so when we've gone with UFA and UPD and Animal Services now, and it's because the level of service and the economics of providing that are in balance. And that's why our people are happy, is because it's cheaper for us to be in UPD than if we had our own police department. And it's cheaper for us to be with UFA than we had our own fire department. And it's cheaper for us to be with county animal services than if we continued on with our animal services division. And so that's what, so it's not everything that we can't do, not everything is going to go to shared services. There's things that we don't, that our city will never, our cities will never go, because it doesn't make sense economically, and you don't have that broader base need to cooperate and interface like Jim is talking about. And so that's a major part of this. And so you have to politically move slow enough that the people are with you. And so it was huge. It was huge in Riverton to go with the UFA. We would not be with the UPD if there hadn't been huge success with the UFA. It just, the people would not have allowed that. And now we've had huge success with the UFA and UPD. And so now we think, we haven't started till July 1, but we think we're ready to risk with animal services. And so it's that kind of confidence politically that you have to build and trust with the people.
That leads into this next question. How does the potential of Mill Creek City Incorporation tip the fiscal scales? I think everybody's looking at Mill Creek very carefully, one of six townships in the county. And again, if voters approve in the fall incorporation, that area is going to be a large city, 64,000 residents. So what effect will this have on the remaining unincorporated areas, on the cost to cities that contract for county services? How does Mill Creek fit into this equation? Pam Roberts.
If I could just say that with one of the benefits of having a special service district is that the boundaries are established. And so Mill Creek is a part of those boundaries as an unincorporated entity. If they incorporate, it's 25,000 homes out of the 80,000 homes, roughly. I don't know, Brent, am I off or on? Okay. But the thought of them wanting to annex out of the district, because that's what they would have to do. They would have to gain approval from our board to annex out of the district and have waste collection on their own, waste and recycling collection on their own. Now, the board would have the say and would have to consider the costs to the other customers within the district. And we can know that the economies of scale obviously is going to go down. So the fees would go up for all of the other customers. So my thought is that the elected officials who are there at the table to say yes or no understand that concept, that we would lose economies of scale. My other thought is that Mill Creek would see the wisdom in staying within the district, because there is that economies of scale for them as well. And what they could do is have, if they stay in the district, they could actually have a vote and a say by having an elected official at the table as the board. Mm. So, you know, it's hard to say how it would affect us until it happens and then we see how it plays out. But my thought is, and the vision is, they would stay in and have an elected official at the table.
Hmm. Others, thoughts on Mill Creek?
They can't survive unless they do. They can't form their own police department, their own fire department, their own sanitation district. All of the annexations that occur are going to have to occur with pulling in the things that they've already had and then having representation on the appropriate boards as an elected entity.
Hmm.
Another one of my big problems, the difference between the county and the cities. Historically, the county has provided the sheriff, and you saw the services, and cities have provided sidewalks, curb gutter, street lighting, And when areas annex and become a city, they don't have all that. That's where the huge cost comes, when you annex an area that has been almost totally funded by the county, because that was not a county issue way back when. And it tends to be a serious issue, because as soon as you incorporate, somebody wants a street light on their corner tomorrow.
Yesterday. Other thoughts on Mill Creek and the fiscal part of
this? I have a few thoughts. First of all, if you look at the basic services that are provided to any locale, you know, the fixing the roads, providing, you know, everything that the municipal services provides, except for fire and police, which is huge, Mill Creek can't do it any cheaper or any better. There's just no way. It's not going to happen. So what drives that? Well, I'll tell you what drives it. Two things, and I'm not sure which is more important. One is planning and zoning, because everybody wants to be able to plan their community. That's extremely important, and I think that's probably the reason behind most of the incorporations that have taken place in the last 40 or 50 years have been planning and zoning issues, possibly code enforcement, which is a sister. But the other thing, and I think it's equally as powerful, is just ego. Ego of people in the community who want to be somebody, want to do something, are misguided in terms of thinking that they can do it better for some reason, even though the numbers don't show that. But that's a powerful force that you have to deal with. I mean, just because somebody has a big ego doesn't mean you just ignore it.
A softer way of saying ego might be identity, or autonomy.
You know, in terms of Mill Creek, and I think you could probably apply this to a lot of the cities, not a lot, but a number of the cities, that really it is. It's a desire to be able to, you know, we built something that we shouldn't have built, and people are mad about it, so they want to incorporate, so it won't happen again. And secondly, it's the ego of people who want to, you know, you be mayor, police chief, or whatever they want to be, I don't know. But those are the two driving forces, as far as I can see.
Mm. Nicole Dunn?
Just to specifically talk about the what would change, since the Mill Creek is in the Unified Police Department and the Unified Fire Authority, and all of our property tax in the unincorporated area goes to both of those service districts, the real decision that will make a change is if Mill Creek incorporates, whether or not they choose to stay in the police and fire district. Mm. That would have a much more significant impact on the remaining unincorporated county and on that community than the impact of the initial incorporation. Really what will be impacted by the incorporation is they would have maybe more say over the sales tax they generate, but the large part is the property tax, and that won't change with incorporation unless they choose to leave the police and fire district.
Well, what about the townships that are left? Kearns, Magna, I mean, the places that choose not to incorporate. I mean, what is the fiscal note for them? Mm-hmm. Councilman Jensen?
Well, 2 points before I get to that. First, Mayor Applegarth talked, I just wanted it for the record, fire is always let out in front of the police, just so you know. And then,
wow, okay.
And then back to your earlier point, Jennifer, I actually think the people like our new models. Mm-hmm. And the reason I would say that they like the models instead of are afraid of the models is because of the transparency that the new models give. You know exactly what it costs for fire protection now. There's no question. You know exactly what it costs for police. You know exactly what it costs for sanitation. And the new buzzword in the 2010 decade seems to be transparency. People want to know exactly what they're paying for. When you lay it out to them and you show them, and you say, where else would you cut? What else would you change? People are usually okay with the services. They just want to know and be educated about the services and about how much it's going to cost, mm-hmm. which ties into your last question. I think the other townships and the other unincorporated areas, I think they're going to be just fine. And the reason why I say that is the largest cost centers we've taken out and put into these service models to where they have their own dedicated funding sources. And so what's left then for the public works portions and animal services are really the sales tax, and so those areas are going to be able to adjust their service levels based on the funding that comes in. So I don't personally see a huge change now that we've gone to both taxing districts for fire and police. I don't think it really changes for the unincorporated area. And here's why I say it. If you remember when we had to do the police fee, when we had the recession of 08, we tried to go to the state legislature and say we wanted utility franchise authority for the unincorporated area. We don't have it. Every other city in the Salt Lake Valley has maxed out their utility franchise with the exception of Cottonwood Heights. Cottonwood Heights is the only city of the 16 that doesn't. But the other 15 are all maxed. Total 6% on their energy, 4% on their telecommunications. What does that mean? It was the almost exact dollar amount that we needed to cover in the fee. So when you look at the overall tax burden of the unincorporated area versus cities, we're going to be right in the middle when you put in the utility franchise. And so now that we've moved off the fee and put it to the property tax, I don't really see there being an issue for Magna, Kearns, White City, Immigration, Copperton, and then the other areas. We have the funding now that we need to provide the service levels that they're currently at. Hmm.
This is somewhat related, a comment and a question. We're hearing that cost is driving this. We're getting economies of scale. However, we are pulling chunks from the county that currently receive services from the administrative infrastructure of the county. The question, how is recreating the administrative functions cost effective? We're losing economies of scale in that area. You're smiling, Pam.
I'm smiling because there's been a lot of analysis and evaluation because we are separating from Salt Lake County. And so it's a matter of what administrative services are we going to need to have an interlocal agreement back or contract back.
But does this go back to Mayor Seguini's point? There's layers.
Right.
Is this really the most cost-effective way of providing service?
Well, let me go back to the implementation of making this happen. My job and my role is to make sure that we go the most cost-effective route because I answer to 80,000 fee-paying customers, and I answer to an administrative control board who Councilman Jensen is a member of, and then also I answer to the county council and the mayor. So, you know, kind of going back to the CEO's accountability, I'm held very highly accountable. And, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that, even though I'm not an elected official, there is a high sense of accountability. But my role is to make sure that we go with the most cost-effective route. And in all honesty, we've done some evaluating of private agencies out there for fleet, for maintenance, for contracts procurement, for HR, et cetera. And there are many of the county administrative functions that are the most cost-effective, and so we intend to stay with many of those services.
Other thoughts on that point, Councilman Bradley?
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure if the question meant are we duplicating administration when we create one of these service districts, and therefore, you know, is it really cost-effective? I would believe that mostly we're transferring administrative costs from a county government or even sometimes the city government to this district. You may or may not save on that. I guess my presumption is you would save a lot just because of the larger, instead of having, for instance, five or six police chiefs in cities, now you've got one. Obviously, there's going to be a savings there. And you follow that down through the ranks, and you can see that there would be administrative savings. But it's certainly not, I think, if the question was leading to, you know, is the county cutting back proportionately as we divorce ourselves from certain services, I would say yes. Through the budget processes we've gone through, we haven't added a cost because we've created a service district. We've in fact lowered a cost to the community as a whole.
Mayor Seguini?
This has nothing to do with your question, but it's an aside that I would like to give to the county employees that I thought was interesting. When we decided to go to UFA and UPD and we transferred all of our employees over and all our equipment over, historically, we had a lot of problems in the fire department and the police department because somebody got promoted and somebody else thought they should have been, and there was only one position they could go to. And by moving to the larger organizations, it frees employees to go for promotions, to change jobs, to move to different locations, And they are so thrilled that they have flexibility instead of being tied into a small group that can only do so much and go so far. Hmm. It was amazing to me that psychologically it improved the attitude of all those workers being in a larger organization that allowed for growth and moving to higher positions.
So employee flexibility, the opportunity for professional growth.
Yep.
This may be sort of the flip side of it. This is someone from Parks and Rec. For the agencies that remain under Salt Lake County control, in quotes, how will our funding be impacted? So for the departments outside of these special districts, can you talk about the funding issues on that point? Maybe Nicole Dunn?
It really shouldn't be affected at all. If you look at, if you think back to Carrie's PowerPoint and you saw the general fund services, what we're trying to do is the city type services, move those services into these service districts and really strengthen the regional services that are provided countywide, because those are already regional services that we provide for most of the cities in the, or the whole county, not just the unincorporated county. So we provide parks and recreation for Taylorsville and West Valley and Cottonwood Heights and Holiday as a regional service. And so that is countywide general fund. So it's a very separate funding source. So it shouldn't be impacted. One place where I think you could argue that it was impacted is maybe in health insurance costs. I think maybe this goes back to the question before is how does Salt Lake County need to reinvent itself and look at its costs as we lose the UPD and the UFA? It did have an impact on our overall health insurance costs. But we took handle of that and went out for RFP and found some cost savings in our health care. And I think that you have to remember that we're looking out for the taxpayer as a whole and as well as an organization. And so while it might have some slight cost increase for the county government as an organization, for the taxpayer, it doesn't. And so we have to look at our countywide organization and say, where do we have to find cost efficiencies in administration to account for that? But hopefully we can do that and it shouldn't have too much impact.
Yes, Councilman Jensen?
I just want to tie the two questions, the last two, together, because I think it is important. It is an employee base. I think it's important, all of you guys as well. Let me give you some history as to, I think the long and the short of it, it's about perspective again. It's about whether I'm sitting in your position today or you were sitting in my position 10 years ago. It's about perspective and then where you're at on that line. So if you remember back the legislative session of 2000, a group of the cities got together, went to the legislature and said, we don't want to do paramedics countywide anymore. So they went and took $9 million out of the county general fund, and we laid off 72 firefighters. Did the rest of the county lay off auditors, financial folks? Did we lay off people in other sections? No. So the fire department laid off 72 folks. Year later, same group of cities went up. They did the same thing on investigative services. We laid off 100 sheriff's office employees. 100. Did we see reductions across the board in other county areas? No, we didn't. So it's a matter of perspective. Back then, I had 72 firefighters that were griping, not happy, saying, where's the shared pain in the county back then? The following year, we had 100 sheriff's office folks. Same thing. Where's the shared pain? So what we did was we looked at and said, we need to, number one, save the taxpayers' money. It's precious, the tax dollars that come in. That's number one always. We also need to provide great service, but we also need to look and protect the employees. So how is it that we can protect all of the employees if we can? And one of the ways that we felt that we could do it was going to these regional service providing models. Now that leads into the deputy mayor's point. I think you got to draw the line between what is generally funded. If you're generally funded, nothing changes. Absolutely nothing, except maybe on the health benefits. And I agree that is an issue that that did change because you had two healthy parts leave the organization. Then if you're in the municipal side, I think what we've done is we've recognized that there is an issue, that for public works employees, yeah, long term, there is an issue. And so what we've tried to do over the last couple of years is come up with a methodology to provide stability for those public works employees, the folks that are left behind. And so what we've done with the funding models, what we've done with trying to look at this new service organization, is provide stability to the employees and ultimately a savings to the taxpayers overall. So they are tied in, and I do think it's a matter of perspective. But I know from the council's perspective and from talking to the mayor's office, we want to protect every job we can. Now, there might be one or two here or there, but the idea is to protect globally everybody. Now, there's always moving parts and different pieces of the puzzle. They all need to come together, but that is the plan and the overall arching goal.
And I would emphasize that we've always gone, looked at the service districts from the perspective of how do we stabilize these services for the unincorporated county. That, I mean, we've not just looked at it from the perspective of how do we help municipalities save money and find collaborations. One of the driving forces, as Councilman Jensen has said, is how do we stabilize the services and the jobs and the organization for unincorporated residents in a fluctuating situation.
Our time is running short, but I want to squeeze in this question directed to Mayor Applegarth and Mayor Seguini. And maybe, Pam Roberts, you wrote this. If you see the benefits in this model, are you looking at the possibilities of joining the sanitation district? Mayors?
The problem with that is that Midvale City, West Jordan, Sandy City, South Jordan, and are you part of the Jordan Valley?
Mm-hmm.
We own our own landfill.
Trans-Jordan.
Or Trans-Jordan, yeah, landfill. Mm-hmm. And so we own our own landfill, and we have owned it for years, and we're able to do it at a much lower cost. Should that landfill fill up, you know, then I think we'd be in a position. But right now, I don't think those partner cities would be interested in changing that.
Mayor Applegarth.
We will look at it very carefully. The issue with us is level of service and cost. If the service is there or better and the cost is the same or less, we will look at it very, very carefully. That's our role. That's what's driven UPD, UFA, animal services, and it'll be sanitation as well. But yeah, this is a whole new area for me to really think about and look at, and it's exciting because our contract with waste management comes due in next year, in 2013. So it gives us an opportunity to look at it very carefully between now and then, and we will.
We've only got a couple seconds left, but I guess my final question to you, this is the Preparing for the Future Symposium. Predict for us, 5 years, 10 years down the road, what does Salt Lake County look like? Is it wall-to-wall cities? Are these entities, these service districts, is that what the county looks like in every area? Does the county retain some kind of autonomy? Well, what does it look like?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we are wall-to-wall cities, whether we're incorporated or townships or anything else. So I think in the future we have to look at ways, as Mayor Applegarth says, we have to look at ways and continue to examine ways in which we can provide excellent service for the lowest cost possible. And I just think that's our challenge, whether there are new cities or they're still townships. We are wall-to-wall cities in Salt Lake County.
Other thoughts, Councilman Jensen?
I would say I would expect 1 to 2 cities a year for the next few years to look at the UPD, UFA models, look at sanitation, look at the new public works model, and really embrace those and come into those. I think we've talked at the county council about giving more autonomy to the townships for planning and zoning. And if that happens, because I agree with Jim that It's really planning and zoning issues and code enforcement that really drive incorporation issues. That if we were to go change those, I don't think the governance model would really change in the county, to be honest with you. I think Magna and Kearns, they would love to incorporate, but at the end of the day, they're not, neither one of them is going to get Kennecott, so they're not going to. I think that stays, the governance issue probably stays status quo. I would say you will see the regional service providing models grow, and then the general fund side of the county will stay intact, and that won't change at all.
Mm. So. Other thoughts? Final word?
I would agree. I think that Mayor? Where we're headed is to more service districts that make sense economically and service level. Mm-hmm. I think for our citizens, it's all cost with service level. We can provide in government whatever service level the citizens want if they're willing to pay the price. I have people call up and complain about snow plowing. And tongue in cheek, if they're friendly, not if they're going to kill me, but if they're friendly, I'll say, you know, I can provide in front of your house that you will never have a flake of snow ever stay on your street. But it's going to cost you. So what level of service do you want? And these service districts allow us to really fine-tune the level of service, and that's why they're so good, in my opinion. So I see, you know, where it's appropriate. But. Mm-hmm.
I've got two thoughts, none of which I've thought through very well, which is dangerous. But on the issue of if Mill Creek incorporates and I were living in Kearns or Magna, I would quickly go to Kennecott and say, let's incorporate Kennecott, Magna, and Kearns. You'd have a mass exodus to those areas because you would be able to get a lot of services for less money. And that's probably a possibility. Secondly, in a brave new world, picture this, where all cities, except for Salt Lake City, because every state needs a capital city, they disincorporate and become townships. And people serve in the township, either no pay or very little pay, and they have absolute control over planning and zoning. And everything else is done on a countywide basis. What have we lost and what have we gained? I'm not answering that.
We're going to have to leave it there. Please join me in thanking our panelists today. I appreciate it.